Chapter 26 furnishes us an instructive array of examples of English as she is taught in the public schools of, well, this country. The collection is made by a teacher in those schools, and all the examples in it are genuine. None of them have been tampered with, or doctored in any way. From time to time, during several years, whenever a pupil has delivered himself of anything peculiarly quaint or toothsome in the course of his recitations, this teacher and her associates have privately set that thing down in a memorandum book, strictly following the original, as to grammar, construction, spelling, and all, and the result is this literary curiosity. The contents of the book consist mainly of answers given by the boys and girls to questions, said answers being given sometimes verbally, sometimes in writing. The subjects touched upon are 15 in number. 1. Etymology. 2. Grammar. 3. Mathematics. 4. Geography. V. Original. 6. Analysis. VI. History. V. I. Intellectual. 9. Philosophy, 10. Physiology, Xi. Astronomy, 12. Politics, 13. Music, 14. Oratory, XV. Metaphysics. You perceive that the poor little young idea has taken a shot at a good many kinds of game in the course of the book. Now as to results. Here are some quaint definitions of words. It will be noticed that in all of these instances the sound of the word, or the look of it on paper, has misled the child. Aborigines, a system of mountains. Alias, a good man in the Bible. Amenable, anything that is mean. Ammonia, the food of the gods. Assiduity, state of being an acid. Auriferous, pertaining to an orifice. Capillary, a little caterpillar. Corniferous, rocks in which fossil corn is found. Emolument, a headstone to a grave. Equestrian, one who asks questions. Eucharist, one who plays euchre. Franchise, anything belonging to the French. Idolater, a very idle person. Ipecac, a man who likes a good dinner. Irrigate, to make fun of. Mendacious, what can be mended. Mercenary, one who feels for another. Parasite, a kind of umbrella. Parasite, the murder of an infant. Publican, a man who does his prayers in public. Tenacious, 10 acres of land. Here is one where the phrase publicans and sinners has got mixed up in the child's mind with politics, and the result is a definition which takes one in a sudden and unexpected way. Republican, a sinner mentioned in the Bible. Also in Democratic newspapers now and then. Here are two where the mistake has resulted from sound assisted by remote fact. Plagiarist, a writer of plays. Demagogue, a vessel containing beer and other liquids. I cannot quite make out what it was that misled the pupil in the following instances. It would not seem to have been the sound of the word, nor the look of it in print. Asphyxia, a grumbling, fussy temper. Quaternions, a bird with a flat beak and no bill, living in New Zealand. Quaternions, the name given to a style of art practiced by the Phoenicians. Quaternions, a religious convention held every 100 years. Sibilant, the state of being idiotic. Crozier, a staff carried by the deity. In the following sentences the pupil's ear has been deceiving him again. The marriage was illegible. He was totally disgusted with the whole performance. He enjoys writing on a philosopher. She was very quick at repartee. He prayed for the waters to subsidize. The leopard is watching his sheep. They had a strawberry vestibule. Here is one which, well, now, how often we do slam right into the truth without ever suspecting it. The men employed by the gas company go around and speculate the meter. Indeed they do, dear, and when you grow up, many and many's the time you will notice it in the gas bill. In the following sentences the little people have some information to convey, every time, but in my case they fail to connect. The light always went out on the keystone word. The coercion of some things is remarkable, as bread and molasses. Her hat is contiguous, because she wears it on one side. He preached to an egregious congregation. The captain eliminated a bullet through the man's heart. You should take caution and be precarious. The supercilious girl acted with vicissitude when the perennial time came. The last is a curiously plausible sentence. One seems to know what it means, and yet he knows all the time that he doesn't. Here's an odd, but entirely proper, use of a word, and a most sudden descent from a lofty philosophical altitude to a very practical and homely illustration. We should endeavor to avoid extremes like those of wasps and bees. And here with illogical and illogical in his mind, but not ready to his tongue, the small scholar has innocently gone, and let out a couple of secrets which ought never to have been divulged in any circumstances. There are a good many donkeys in theological gardens. Some of the best fossils are found in theological gardens. Under the head of grammar, the little scholars furnish the following information. Gender is the distinguishing nouns without regard to sex. A verb is something to eat. Adverbs should always be used as adjectives and adjectives as adverbs. Every sentence and name of God must begin with a caterpillar. Caterpillar is well enough, but capital letter would have been stricter. The following is a brave attempt at a solution, but it failed to liquefy. When they are going to say some prose or poetry, before they say the poetry or prose, they must put a semicolon just after the introduction of the prose or poetry. The chapter on Athematics is full of fruit. From it I take a few samples, mainly in an unripe state. A straight line is any distance between two places. Parallel lines are lines that can never meet until they run together. A circle is a round straight line with a hole in the middle. Things which are equal to each other are equal to anything else. To find the number of square feet in a room, you multiply the room by the number of the feet. The product is the result. Right you are. In the matter of geography, this little book is unspeakably rich. The questions do not appear to have applied the microscope to the subject, as did those quoted by Professor Ravenstein. Still, they proved plenty difficult enough without that. These pupils did not hunt with a microscope, they hunted with a shotgun. This is shown by the crippled condition of the game they brought in. America is divided into the Pacific Slope and the Mississippi Valley. North America is separated by Spain. America consists from north to south about 500 miles. The United States is quite a small country compared with some other countries, but it about as industrious. The capital of the United States is Long Island. The five seaports of the U.S.S. are Newfoundland and San Francisco. The principal products of the U.S.S. is earthquakes and volcanoes. The Alleghenies are mountains in Philadelphia. The Rocky Mountains are on the western side of Philadelphia. Cape Hatteras is a vast body of water surrounded by land, and flowing into the Gulf of Mexico. Mason and Dixon's line is the equator. One of the leading industries of the United States is molasses, book covers, numbers, gas, teaching, lumber, manufacturers, paper making, publishers, coal. In Austria, the principal occupation is gathering ostrich feathers. Gibraltar is an island built on a rock. Russia is very cold and tyrannical. Sicily is one of the Sandwich Islands. Hindustan flows through the Ganges and empties into the Mediterranean Sea. Ireland is called the Emigrant Isle because it is so beautiful and green. The width of the different zones Europe lies in depend upon the surrounding country. The imports of a country are the things that are paid for, the exports are the things that are not. Climate lasts all the time and weather only a few days. The two most famous volcanoes of Europe are Sodom and Gomorrah. The chapter headed analysis shows us that the pupils in our public schools are not merely loaded up with those showy facts about geography, mathematics, and so on, and left in that incomplete state, No, there's machinery for clarifying and expanding their minds. They are required to take poems and analyze them, dig out their common sense, reduce them to statistics, and reproduce them in a luminous prose translation which'll tell you at a glance what the poet was trying to get at. One sample will do. Here is a stanza from The Lady of the Lake, followed by the pupil's impressive explanation of it. Alone, but with unabated zeal, the horseman plied with scourge and steel. For jaded now, and spent with toil, embossed with foam and dark with soil, while every gasp with sobs he drew, the laboring stag strained full in view. The man who rode on the horse performed the whip, and an instrument made of steel alone with strong ardor not diminishing. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.